Lord Jesus Christ, we lift you up. You get the glory, you get the praise, you get the honor, you get the loyalty, you get the everything, God, everything. You get our lives, our minds, our thoughts, our feelings, our emotions, our devotion. Everything, God, goes to you, Jesus. You are our good shepherd. You are the true shepherd. You raised us from the dead, Lord Jesus. We were dead before we knew you, Lord. And now we're alive to you, God. Alive and new. Newness of life all day long. So, Lord, we praise you. We thank you. I pray that your words would be all over this message, that your spirit will be all over this message, God. And anyone listening would just be edified and encouraged and would see you in a different way. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Hello, this is Michael. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. And it's just continuing with the theme of the last message of overcoming the sin in your life. So it's important that you see, before you knew Christ, whatever temptation, whatever thought or feeling came into you, you and your flesh decided to do what you did. You presented yourself to your flesh. You presented yourself to your own sinful nature to decide what to do. You were a slave to sin, a slave to what your flesh had in store for you. Whatever it decided for you, that's what you did. But it's important that you understand that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it changed all of that. You see, the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus didn't just seal you for eternity. It didn't just cleanse all of your sins and make you heaven-bound. It has a very real and present impact on your life right now. And I just don't want you to think that the gospel is something that was just the beginning of your faith. And now everything else rests in you trying to just be godly by your own strength. And you know, it's easy, you know, when you say own strength, everybody knows, no one would disagree with the notion to not live the Christian life in your own strength. But everyone will sit there and will amen that, and then we'll just go right out and continue to do things in our own strength. It's such a subtle and really covert thought and act on our part. That we just attempt to go and secure our own righteousness. But I'm here to tell you that if you try to do that, you're just going back in your flesh. You don't live by your will any longer. You live by the will of Jesus Christ who dwells in you. And so here's the application now, is that we have believers who are stuck in sin. They're not unredeemed. We're not talking about you being unredeemed, or we're not talking about somebody who hasn't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm talking about people who've made a genuine decision that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He saved them, and they now are going to heaven. They know that, and they're born again. But yet sin is still having the master over them. That's a very different situation, and it's happening all over our church, and it's because of the gospel. It's because the gospel is not being fully understood. It's not being fully understood. You can tell your understanding and belief of the gospel based on how you deal with the sin in your life, how you address the sin that comes up in the middle of your day. It really reveals, it's a commentary on what you believe about what Jesus Christ accomplished for you. You see, when Jesus Christ died, you were baptized into that death. And what does that mean? That means that when He was crucified on that cross, that was also showing that your flesh, your old way, was being crucified. It's no longer going to be the head honcho. It's no longer going to be the chief in that town. It's no longer going to be the one that's running the show. Jesus Christ He was crucified and died to sin, and therefore you've died to sin. You've died to that being the number one, because anyone who's a believer knows that your sin nature is still very much in you. Your sin nature is still very much present, and you can feel it from the moment you wake up until you go to sleep. You're getting kicked in, you know, just kicked around sometimes by the sin nature just roaring at you. But it was crucified, meaning that it's now, it was put on a cross, and it's no longer the only way. It's no longer your body's, it's no longer your body's go-to man anymore. We now have something else, and that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that as he was resurrected, we have also been raised. We were killed. Our nature was killed in terms of its priority, in terms of its preeminence, in terms of it being first place in us. It was killed, but now we've been raised again. By what? Our own efforts? No, by Jesus Christ living in you. He lives in you, and he is the one that now functions and works and wills. And that's so important to understand. If you don't understand and believe in the presence of Jesus Christ living and working in you, the abundant life is going to be outside of your reach. It's going to be outside of your reach. Because what's going to happen is you're going to find yourself trying to live life well on your own terms. And there are people out there with very disciplined personalities. So maybe there are certain things that they struggle with that other believers don't struggle with because of their own flesh. Their personality is able to help them, but they're not still living the abundant life. This isn't about trying to be disciplined and follow God's rules in the Bible. That's not what this life is about. This life is about the Spirit of God living and dwelling in you, working his good pleasure in you, and his presence being your food all day long. So what does Romans 6 teach? Romans 6 is saying, look, you have been baptized in the death of Christ. Your old sin nature, your old man, it exists in you, but it's dead. It's dying. It's buried. It's trying to fight for power. Don't let it. It's weakened. Why is it weakened? It's weakened only because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If your sin nature can't be defeated unless there's something else replacing it, unless there's something else that you can go to. Remember, before Jesus Christ, you didn't have anything else except your own perspective of how you lived your life, which was based on a sin nature. You made decisions and managed your life apart from what God desired. You manage it apart from his working in you. You did and ran your life by how you worked in you. But now, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's important you understand he lives in you. And that's the way you live your life. That's the truth of the gospel of the new covenant, that Jesus Christ lives in you and you will live with him forever. That's why it says in Romans 6 that he who lives, he's not going to die again. So you don't die. You're living with him, and this is forever, friends. Forever. You are living the eternal life right now. Jesus Christ is in you right now. Well, I don't really feel like Jesus Christ is in me, especially when I'm having all these crazy thoughts and emotions running in me, because I don't know what your perspective of what it's supposed to be like when God lives in you. But God living in you isn't this super spiritual emotional experience 24/7. That's not what it's about. It's not a sci-fi movie where now, oh, God lives in you, and now you just start going doing all these amazing grandiose things all day long and you just feel superior. That's not what it is. God's presence can be very quiet sometimes, very gentle. God still desires to be sought after. He lives in you, and I'm encouraging you to go seek him today, because that's your strength. That's your life. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, my body is the true food. My blood is the true drink. He must be your daily bread, friends. He must be. And he's resurrected, and he's raised you. If you don't believe that he's raised you, and now your newness of life is his presence in you, then the belief in the resurrection is not complete. And that's why Romans 6 says, so given all this information, given that your body has been crucified, your old way, your old sin nature has been crucified, and given that the Jesus Christ lives in you, when you start to feel the beck and call of sin, the lust, the temptation, the emotions, the impulse, the automatic stuff that just rushes in your heart, present yourself to Jesus, not to your sin nature. Present yourself to Christ. Present yourself to the Lord. You see, that's how you begin to take control of your life. But it's not you taking control, it's the Lord Jesus taking control. Because what you're doing is you're saying, God, I can't do this on my own. I can't handle my sinful emotions. I can't handle my life. I need you to handle it. So when I'm going to present myself to you, instead of trying to present myself to my reason, instead of trying to present myself to my willpower, instead of trying to present myself to my rationale, that's just all another way of saying you're presenting yourself to your flesh. But your flesh has been crucified. So stop doing that. Stop trying to be disciplined and follow God's law and God's rule and what God says in the Bible, and just allow the word to live in you. In Psalm 119, it says, your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. And who is the word? John 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. And guess what? The word was God. Verse 14 of John chapter 1 says, and the world came down and dwelt among flesh and lived among us. The word became flesh. The word is Jesus Christ. So in Psalm 119, he's really saying, I've hid Jesus Christ in me. I've hidden the Lord Jesus Christ so that I may not sin. If you want to not sin, if you want to not have sin be the master over you, hide Jesus Christ in you. Keep him in you and worship him and praise him and draw near to his presence. And then you will begin to experience the abundant life, because you won't be worrying anymore about keeping yourself from sin. Now you'll be worrying about keeping yourself in the love of God. Now you'll be focused on Jesus Christ instead of focusing yourself on you and your imperfections. You see what's going on now? You present yourself to the Lord. And then it continues to say in Romans 6, that we are no longer underneath the law. We're no longer under the law. And then he says, so what does that mean? That we can just do what we want to do? We can just sin and just do what we want to do because we're not under law and under grace? That's supposed to be a comfort to you. Because here's the deal. We already know from 1 John that anyone who says he doesn't sin is a liar. Just because Jesus Christ lives in you doesn't mean you're not going to sin any longer. But here's the deal. Even if you do sin, the other part of sin that has the power is the guilt. Guilt keeps you away from God. Guilt keeps you isolated. Guilt keeps you from experiencing the abundant life because you feel like you're not worthy. But guess what, friends? That's what it's trying to say. You're under the grace of God. You're not under the law. The law has been taken care of because you aren't worthy. You aren't worthy. You're not worthy. You're weak. You are a sinner. Your default is sin. So don't be surprised about your sin anymore. You don't have to be overwhelmed by your sin. Everyone has a sin nature, and everyone is unworthy of the glory of God. But it's Him in you that allows you to do what you need to do. It's His grace that allows you to come back in. As I said in the last podcast, it's a swinging door that when you stumble, you can get right back up and continue business as usual, walking in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is good news. This is good news. Sin doesn't have to have dominion over you. Even if you fall into sin, you don't have to let it have dominion over you. You can continue to enjoy the abundant life because you no longer have to walk in guilt. Jesus Christ took all your guilt. He took all your shame. He took it all. He took it all. All. Sins that you haven't even done yet. Do you understand that sins that have yet to be committed by you have been paid for? You're still learning and being surprised of your new sins. The Lord Jesus isn't. When He made the decision to save you, He saved every part of you, all of you, all of you. Even your weaknesses and your imperfections, the things that you stumble by, your disorganization, your inclination to be depressed, your inclination to have a temper and be angry, paid for, paid for. Yes, there may be physical consequences here on earth, but there's no more spiritual consequences, nothing getting in the way from enjoying the resurrected Jesus Christ living in you. Nothing getting in the way from you walking in newness of life, from you being a new creation. Oh, how can I be a new creation? You should have seen what I said and did yesterday. You should have seen what I did this morning. That doesn't matter. You are saved by grace. Sin no longer has dominion over you. It no longer does. This is an abundant life, friends. This is the good news. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ said in John 8, if you don't believe that I am who I am, you will die in your sins. Now, He was saying that to the Pharisees. He was trying to say to them, if you don't believe in the Messiah, if you don't trust in the gospel, you're going to be judged for your sins. You won't be cleaned. But I'm saying the same thing to you if you believe. that if you don't believe Jesus Christ is living in you, you will die in your sins. Well, what do I mean by that? You're going to spend your whole life on this planet dying in your sins, being remorseful about your imperfections, being chained down to the fact that you're imperfect and you want to be perfect and you want to be able to be disciplined and be righteous, but you're not, and you're just belaboring it and drowning in self-pity. And I'm saying, if you don't believe that He is He, you're going to live a miserable life. You must believe that Jesus Christ is alive. He is alive, and He is your life. He saved you once for all, and He's saving you all day long. Get in on His presence. It's time now to get on His presence. I wish there would be a revival, that people would start lifting up Jesus Christ, that Christians would start preaching Jesus Christ, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, not just in John 14:6, but now, today, at this very moment. At this very moment, He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the food right now. He is the drink right now. He is your portion right now. He is your good shepherd right now. He is your strength right now. He is your king right now. He's your friend right now. He's your redeemer right now. He's your rock right now. He's everything right now. Do you understand? I want you to get in on this, brothers and sisters. I do. I do. Because that is life. That's how we live. When you experience your sinful pleasures or your sinful emotions, when you just, even if you're not experiencing your sinfulness, just present yourselves. Just as it says in Romans 12, I urge you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves to God, a holy, living, acceptable sacrifice. You are holy. You are acceptable, because not because of what you've done. You don't be acceptable. You don't be holy and then present yourself. You present yourself already accepted, already holy, because Jesus did it for you. He did it for you. Amen? So, Lord, I just pray that anyone listening would just be encouraged, Lord. I pray that they would know that Jesus Christ did everything for them, that they'd be encouraged, that they would just come to realize that they don't have to let sin have the way anymore, that sin no longer needs to be their go-to person, that sin is not going to satisfy them, it's not going to fully take away what's going on, but going to Jesus Christ and presenting yourself to Jesus, that's what takes it away. That's what gives us the peace that we need and the joy we need. That's what truly satisfies us. So, Lord God, I pray that anyone listening would be encouraged, Lord. I worship You, Lord. I give You my all, Lord. And I pray that we would all, by Your Spirit, by Your power, give You our all. You are God and You are Messiah. You are everything. You're the first and the last. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that You are the Lord, Jesus Christ. This world is not the reality, Lord. You on the throne in heaven with cherubim, seraphim, and angels worshiping You, that's reality, Lord. And let us get in on that right now today. In Your name we pray. Amen.